Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. And welcome. Happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you.
If we could get started, I think the first item on the agenda is to determine a quorum, and we do have a quorum, so we're ready to rock and roll. Next item on the agenda is audience participation. If we have anyone who has comments that they'd like to put before the policy committee, that should be done now.
I do.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Lynn Bertrand, Mayor of Hiram. I wanted to introduce a new mayor in our county. Glenn Brosco Brem was just elected in Streetsboro, and he's from fire service from Talmadge. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Streetsboro is a charter city, so that he was, as soon as the election was certified, he was sworn in, and I had the pleasure of attending his swearing-in ceremony. I want to tell you a little kind of side story. His opponent, who lost the election, spent somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000 in the election, and Glenn spent about $6,000, $7,000. But he's a veteran not only of fire service in Twinsburg, but also a U.S. Marine member, veteran of that group, although I'm an Army guy, so we probably should sit pretty far apart. In any event, please welcome him to our group.
You're here.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Burton. Okay, next item on the agenda is minutes. We have two sets of minutes. First one is for August 17th, 2011 meeting. I accept the motion for approval.
So moved.
A motion of second?
Second.
A motion of second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, can say anything else? Thank you very much. Next is the minutes for the September 15th meeting. And I would accept a motion to approve those.
So moved.
A motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. On to number three, staff reports, the financial progress report, Mr. Segedy.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Before I give the financial progress report, I just wanted to also welcome Mayor Brosco from Streetsboro, and I will be kind of giving him a who's who of AMATS and what we do later, but I'm sure that, you know, if any of you would be interested in speaking with him, maybe from a mayor's perspective, I'm sure that he would find that helpful as well. And I also wanted to recognize Mayor Mike Lyons from Richfield. This will be his last meeting with us, at least in his capacity as mayor, as he serves out his term. And I can't say enough great things about Mayor Lyons, his level of activity both with AMATS and with RPI, and also with our fledgling Northeast Ohio Sustainable Communities Consortium. I'm always impressed that I think every meeting I'm at, Mayor Lyons is there also. So. Mike, thanks a lot for your service over the years, and you'll be missed.
You're here. Thanks, Mike.
Just real quickly in the financial progress report, not really anything out of the ordinary to report. We are a third of the way through our fiscal year, which starts July 1st. So this report in your folders, attachment 3A, is as of October 31st. One third of the year, and we have expended 33% of the budget. So we're right where we need to be budget-wise. And if there aren't any questions, I would ask for entertaining of a motion to approve the report.
So moved.
The motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Motion, a second. Any discussion on the financial progress report? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, B. Item B is technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few things I wanted to update the committee on. First of all, there has been a little bit of rumbling in terms of the federal transportation authorization and potentially some movement. Recently, there was a new proposal submitted by the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee. They're proposed a two-year reauthorization that would maintain our current levels of funding. Many of the programs would be consolidated into, I believe, I think they'd go from somewhere from 40 to kind of less than 10, which the idea is to create more flexibility within the larger programs. Kind of big thing on the radar in terms of that bill is that there is an MPO reform that's included in that, but the main thing with that is that it would eliminate MPOs under 200,000 urbanized area population. Our region's over 500,000, but areas like Steubenville, Lima, and the whole state of West Virginia would lose their MPO planning process under this reform. Also, the big news is this bill is about $13 billion short in terms of if they just maintain the current highway trust fund levels of gas tax collections. And most guess that if that shortfall isn't somehow figured out how to be made up, that this bill might not be going anywhere. But I think from the staff's perspective and from the people that we've talked to who are in D.C., that this is probably the most realistic or reasonable bill that we've seen so far, and we do think that there is some momentum on some of the issues that are highlighted here, that we could be seeing something very similar. I think there's, I don't want to say optimism that a bill could happen in 2012, I guess it's a possibility, but right now we're still on continuing resolutions, and that's probably going to continue at least in the short term. Also, the Ohio Turnpike, if anyone saw in the paper that ODOT did hire KPMG to study the leasing of the turnpike or also any potential options in terms of ways to utilize that asset. KPMG will start in January with their work, and they're required to have their recommendations to the state by July. At this point, I'm not sure, or we don't really know how our MPOs or Northeast Ohio will, if at any be asked to participate in this study, but I wanted to put it on everyone's radar. Also, as Jason mentioned, there is the Northeast Ohio Sustainable Communities Consortium, which AMETS is a member. They have their program office up and running since last time we met. They are actually next door to AMETS in downtown Akron. They're just getting their work underway. They've got 5 work streams. They're looking for, I think, people that are interested in participating. If you are interested or getting more information, please feel free to contact us at AMETS, or there's also a neoscc.org website, and Hunter Morrison, who's the program director of that, would also be willing to help out if you are interested. Finally, on the AMETS front, we do have some planning things we're hoping to get out by the end of the year. One is our Switching Gears website that's looking at promoting recreational and on-road biking trails in Summit and Portage County. Also, we are creating a bike users map, which we're hoping to have printed and roll out early 2012 to sort of support the upcoming biking season, I guess you will, as winter turns to spring, which seems like an awful long time from now. But with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
How will you be distributing that map?
The plan is we're still working on how many we're going to order initially, but we're going to use the local bike stores, take them to them, give them 50 copies each, and then I think kind of work on a way to also get them out to the communities. So I think hopefully we're going to try to use a very small public-private partnership of getting them, and they've been very receptive to having those in their stores and passing them out. And then also I think we'll try to do some community outreach, have maybe a public meeting, and kind of try to call attention to them.
And I think as we develop that, if any of you are interested in having them, in your city hall or disseminating them, we'll just give us a heads up. We'll make sure that we have plenty on hand.
And actually, that is exactly where I was going to go to have that, because we have about 150 member cycle club in Hudson that have continued to ask us for maps of cycling, especially not just in Hudson, because distance some of these guys are traveling. Might as well give it for all in Northeastern Ohio. But that would be wonderful.
Okay.
Does Summit County have anything like that at this time?
There's a trail and greenway plan. Curtis might know of some other. I know the National Park and the Ohio and Erie Canal Coalition do some pretty nice maps of the towpath and some of the trails that feed in. But we did kind of see a need for a two-county map showing both the one of the things it's going to do is have the bike friendliness of various roads as well, as much as we were able to gauge it. Maybe Curtis can even talk just a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and there's also, I think the other thing that there aren't any maps of that we have seen are bike lanes. I think actually Hudson, Tom King, we worked with, was a big help, because that you are some of the few that have really nice GIS of that stuff. So we're trying to put it in a much more readable format in terms of a nice map that people can unfold and look at. And, but yeah, I think other than going to the websites of Ohio and Erie Canal Coalition or Metro Parks, we found that it's a lot of piecemeal. And so one of the things we're trying to do is kind of create an area where you can kind of see the whole system. And even that, we have to work to make sure we get Cuyahoga County for the northern communities and everything. So. Ongoing process.
Are you conferring with any of the bike clubs at all?
Yes.
I see some of these trip ticks that when they do plan trips, and they're quite elaborate.
Yes.
Some of these guys have some amazing computer skills.
Yeah, we have worked very hard to reach out. And I think the other thing is we kind of are saying this is our first iteration, and we're hoping that as people see it, they'll be able to come to us and say, we disagree with this. We think this road's a lot friendlier, or we think this road's really dangerous, and things like that. Because what we really need to make the map strong is a lot of user feedback, and so that's what we're looking for.
Well, I was just out in Marin County, California, over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I happened to be in a bike shop, and I picked up their map, and it was really impressive. Unfortunately, I left it with my son-in-law, but I can probably call him if you want an example of one. But maybe you can go online and see those examples.
Yeah, no, we'd love to see it. Okay. We're trying to do water-resistant paper and a non-terrible paper so that you could use it as an umbrella or a canvas tent.
Multi-use.
So, especially around here, huh?
Yeah, okay. Exactly, because you never know. So I don't know if you can build an arc with it, but you'll get close.
All right, well, let's confer about that. I might have some ideas,
yeah,
and I
want to
put you in contact with the people at least at the Hudson Velo Club.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
As well as the Akron Club. That'd be great. That's really good news.
Great. Any other comments or questions for Curtis? Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the status of the AMAT sub-allocated funds. That's item 3, attachment 3C in the package. Mr. Bodison.
Thank you. Well, for many years now, ODOT has been reminding the MPOs in Ohio, including AMATs, that we do have large balances that carry over year after year. And then finally, about 3 weeks ago, we did hear a proposal that at this point is internal to ODOT about taking back some of those funds, those unspent funds that get carried over year after year. The proposal that we heard that could change is that they'll start basically after going into the 2015, so they're looking at the fiscal year 2014 balance. If we're not spending at least 75% of our annual allocation that gets carried over each and every year, they'll take back anything above that 75%. I think the next 2 years, that goes down to 50%. We have to at least spend 50% of our carryover balance, which, again, usually amounts to a year's worth of allocation. And then ultimately, we'd only have to allow it to be carried over 25% of our annual allocation. Anything above that, we will take back. And again, this is just in the proposal stage. Of course, any more we hear about that, we will get back to you and let you know what comes out of that. Fortunately, we've already gone in the direction of reducing our balances. This committee, back at their meeting in August, has decided in this current round of funding to over-program by 20%. And we should have those projects all programmed by January. I'll get into more detail on that on a different agenda item. And then also, a couple weeks ago, we did have a project review meeting, and at this meeting, ODOT also was doing their fiscal year 2013 lockdown, and what we did was we looked at those projects were scheduled in the next fiscal year, 2013. And any of ours that were in the fourth quarter, scheduled to sell in the fourth quarter, we basically moved them into 14. Because those are the projects that, if they get delayed, they'll bump up into the next fiscal year, and they'll add to our carryover balances. So pretty confident that once we make those changes, the fiscal year 2013 projects will pretty much match up with what gets sold. And we won't run into the same problem that we had in fiscal year 11 going into this current fiscal year, where in the middle of the fourth quarter, we had about $9 million worth of projects delayed. So I think we'll be avoiding that. So with those two things, over-programming in this round of funding and avoiding projects being scheduled in the fourth quarter. We should do pretty good at being able to meet the thresholds that ODOT's going to set if they do come up with this proposal, if it becomes reality of taking back some of the fuel funding. And the reason ODOT can't do that again is because they do give us more funding than they have to. And then looking at our funding program and balances table, we're about midway through fiscal year 2012. Projects involved are the ones that have been encumbered against our account so far. And there's probably about four more projects that have sold. We just haven't gotten the official numbers yet. So we pretty much match about halfway of what was scheduled here in 12 with what funding we've spent. Then looking down at the bottom, you can see our balances. There are some large balances there. And that'll all change, though, once new projects are awarded for funding. And I'll show you the changes that will happen in different agenda items. But that's all I had on this item. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions for Victor? Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Barton. Curtis, you're on again with the status of the with the annual meeting report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I just wanted to thank everyone who could attend our annual meeting. I believe it was later October this year. One of the things, we tried to do it a little bit differently this year. We wanted to get a little bit more interaction. We felt like we had everybody in the room, and we wanted to get some ideas of what AMATS can do moving forward in terms of helping our region. And we had over 150 attendees. We did use the Civic Commons at members of their organization help collaborate the event. And we tried to focus on discussing regional issues that we felt AMATS could address, especially in this new year or as we approach the new year in 2012. And what I just wanted to do was bring this back up. These were the list of issues that were discussed. And that when everyone broke into small groups and came up with ideas of what could be discussed, these were sort of the main things that came up. One of them was streamlining, looking at both the federal transportation process, but also consolidating services. Cross-boundary comprehensive planning was another issue that was discussed, ways for local communities to, I think, share data as well as share kind of what they're seeing for the future in terms of land use planning. Talked about technology as a communication tool. Stormwater management is something that even at AMATS I think we're hearing more and more about. It's becoming a more important issue. Innovative transportation infrastructure, and then also I think best practices were very, sort of seen as being something that would be helpful. And I think the one question we wanted to pose to our policy committee was, on this list, were there any that felt like really stood out, any that the committee wanted the staff to kind of look more in depth into, possibly bringing more information back to you as the year moves forward, because we think that there was a lot of thought put into this, and we don't just want to let it kind of sit and be forgotten. So we're just looking for some feedback, and with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And maybe just as food for thought, as you think about what Curtis said, I would just add also, if you have suggestions maybe that you've kind of mulled over since we had the annual meeting on ways that AMATS could serve as more of a resource, even from kind of just a collaborative standpoint of having all of you in this room. And, one thing we would definitely be willing to do if you were interested is to schedule, more working type sessions with the policy committee, especially if there's a topic that you would like those on, where we could get together in maybe a little bit less formal setting and have more of kind of a open discussion rather than just following, an agenda that's a little bit more formalized. So that's another option that we would be glad to provide that forum if you were interested in taking advantage of that.
Questions for Curtis? Okay. Rebecca, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is old business, and nothing there. We'll move right on to new business. And the first item is election of the 2012 committee officers. Just before we start, today is my last meeting as chairman of this committee, and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, the members of this committee, for allowing me the privilege of being chair this year. It's been a real opportunity that I've appreciated and enjoyed. And Jason and you and this staff have been amazing and really made this job a lot of fun and enjoyable. And I want to thank you for that. But thanks again to everybody who has allowed this old public hearing as a guy the opportunity to sit as chair of this student committee. Really appreciate it. Thank you. The nominating committee consisted of Rick Bissler from PARTA and Mayor Bullis from New Franklin and myself. And we conferred and we are recommending that Mayor Joe Bica be the 2012 chairman of the committee and the vice chair be Connie Krause from the Summit County Department of Development. That's our recommendation for next year's officers. I'd be glad to accept any questions. And if you have none, I'd be glad to accept a motion.
Make a motion to approve as recommended.
Thank you, Mayor Kerr.
Second.
Second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. And the motion passes. Thank you very much.
Bob, before you close that out, I thank you very much for your service and stepping forward last year when you were asked to become the chair, and you've done an exemplary job. I know you worked with a great staff, and we all agree with that, but we really do appreciate the extra effort that you did make.
Thank you very much. Truly appreciate it. It's been a great time. I really enjoyed it.
I want to give the chair a little hand.
Thank you so much. All right. That'll work. Item 5B is the approval of the 2012 meeting calendar. In the package, we have this little calendar and colored dates showing the dates of the proposed schedule for 2012. Oh, we're moving to Thursdays for policy, is that correct? Please note that their policy committee will be on Thursdays next year. If that doesn't create a problem, I'd be willing to accept the motion to approve this calendar.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Thursdays it'll be. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. We have a calendar for next year. Okay. Item number six, resolution 2011-18, announcement of the fiscal year 2012 Connecting Communities Planning Grant recipients. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As part of the Connecting Communities Initiative, AMETS developed a grant program that made available two $50,000 grants for planning studies. Last year was our pilot run of this program. We selected two communities. The village of Richfield was one, and then the city of Akron and Metro RTA received the other grant. Both of those grants are getting in their final stages where we're getting close to having final reports. The program was a success, and the staff felt that it was a good idea to continue the program, announcing that we would begin in August and solicited applications. We received 11 applications by our October 14th deadline. Also, a little bit different this year, we did use the Civic Commons website and posted those applications and asked for anyone to give any feedback in terms of what they felt or how they felt these applications ranked. We did get some good feedback from people and I think had a very robust discussion about sort of the, some of the challenges of urban and suburban planning. The staff initially scored the applications and then the Connecting Communities Planning Grant Task Force met on November 16th. There were three grants that scored, all had the same score. It was the Village of Boston Heights, City of Green, and the City of Ravenna. Based on kind of more of the subjective view of the grants, the staff and the task force felt that it would be wise to recommend the funding of the City of Ravenna's Safe Alternatives, Less Traffic Study, and the Village of Boston Heights' Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan grant. The task force based its recommendation on the application scope, objectives, and also the recommendation of the AMAT staff. Attached on the following pages are both the scoring of the grants as well as a description of Ravenna's project. Ravenna's project south starts at State Route 44 and then works through Prospect Road and Chestnut as it cuts through downtown and towards the Robinson Memorial Hospital. It's looking at ways to integrate some land use and transportation infrastructure in this corridor. The NeoMed campus is right on that corridor. It's becoming a, there's a lot of investment going on there, and AMETS felt like this was a really good time to take a look at this project and this corridor and help make recommendations to improve improve both walkability, transit options, as well as land use ideas. And then the Boston Heights is looking at, especially focusing on the area around the Route 8 corridor. As we all know, there was quite a bit of investment on the Route 8 corridor in the past 5-6 years. This has kind of left Boston Heights dealing with two new interchanges in Hines Hill and Boston Mills Road. And the staff and the task force felt that this was the time to do some land use and transportation planning before kind of the development really starts to hit this area. So staff is recommending those two grants and recommending that we approve Resolution 2011-18, which awards the grants to the City of Ravenna and the Village of Boston Heights. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Curtis? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve Resolution 2011-18.
I'll make the motion.
There's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Curtis. Next item on the agenda, Resolution 2011-19, approving Amendment Number 3 to the Transportation Improvement Program, fiscal years 2012 through 2015. Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 6B, this resolution seeks to add recently awarded funds to the TIP for Metro. In light of the recent awards by the Federal Transit Administration and ODOT, Metro is requesting that the TIP be amended to include several projects. Purchase of 4 large buses with a total project cost of $2.5 million. These are compressed natural gas buses. The purchase of 16 small buses using compressed natural gas, total project cost of $1.8 million. Additional funds for preventive maintenance, the addition of $285,000 of ODOT attributable STP funds. Funds for a rail study awarded to the Federal Transit Administration, study an east-west corridor within the city of Akron. Total project cost is $338,000. And they also wish to increase funds for a current bus purchase, which is on TIP right now, switching the project from diesel to CNG. Total project cost for this is $4.4 million. The staff recommends approval of Resolution 2011-19. Are there
any questions for Mr. Gardner? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve Resolution 2011-19.
So moved.
And the motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, same sign. 2011-19 passes. Thank you very much. Resolution 2011-20, approving projects to be funded under the AMETS resurfacing program and adding these projects to the transportation improvement program. Mr. Bodison.
Thank you. As you know, we're in the middle of a new round of funding. There are 4 core funding programs: the surface transportation, congestion mitigation, air quality, transportation enhancement, and resurfacing funding programs. As mentioned, back in August, this committee agreed to over-program in this round of funding by 20%, and that will equal approximately $53 million available for new projects under these 4 funding programs. Again, as I mentioned, after that decision was made, ODOT has come up with a proposal to take back some of the FCL funding. At this point, we've completed the resurfacing, evaluating the resurfacing projects that were submitted for funding. TIP subcommittee met back in November, where they reviewed, ranked, and developed a list of project recommendations, which this resolution is about. The other 3 funding programs, STP, CMAC, and Enhancement, we're continuing to evaluate those, and the TIP subcommittee does have a meeting next week to start reviewing those projects. There are 54 resurfacing applications that were submitted. They requested over $18 million in federal funds. Another thing about that meeting back in August. This committee had talked about, as part of the overprogramming, was overprogramming the resurfacing program by going to 35% of our annual STP allocation. At this point, our funding policy guidelines specify 20%, but that was overridden. So anyhow, that going to 35% of our annual STP allocation does equal about that $8 million for 2 years of resurfacing projects. So if you're looking at the memo, the first couple pages is the memo. The couple pages after that is the resolution. And the first table you come to is the CIP table listing the new projects. The next page is a map that pulls out. This lists the 25 projects that are being recommended for funding. And then the table after the map shows all the projects also. Again, there's 25 projects being recommended for funding. If you look to the far right, you can see the total score based on the funding criteria. And if you'll notice, the last four projects are all scored the same. There's roughly $8 million available. What the subcommittee decided was, since those last four projects all have the same score, was just to fund all of them. So then our overall funding amount was, for these 25 projects is about $8.3 million. Again, that would go toward the idea that we're trying to over-program. And again, the benefit of over-programming with the resurfacing projects is that these are projects that can sell within a year or two. And then if you look back at our balances table, you'll see we have some high balances. This will help reduce those high balances in the early years of our program. Then our other three funding programs will help reduce those balances in the out years. So those are the 25 projects being recommended for funding. The ones below that were the rest of the projects that were submitted. And then the next page, what we did was we put it in our funding program balance table, that $8.3 million. We put them all in fiscal year 2013. If you look down that column, you'll see a series of zeros, and right below that is $8.299. That's the total for these new 25 projects to be funded. We placed them in fiscal year 2013, realizing that some of those will not sell in 2013. We initially have to put them in our program. There might be some that go in 2014, and there might be one or two that actually sell by the end of this fiscal year, by the end of May. And then the key thing to look at would be down at the bottom of our balances by putting these resurfacing projects in our funding program. You can see it significantly reduces our carryover balances starting in 2013. And then from 2015, we went from a balance of about $11 million down to 2.9. Again, this is, we still have to pick the projects for STPC net enhancement. Majority of those will be in 15, 16, and 17, but there might be a right-of-way phase or some other projects that can go further than that. And also attached to this is three more tables, and those are the projects that were submitted under the STPC method and funding program. One last thing to mention, that the subcommittee did discuss possibly going back to this list of resurfacing projects after they evaluate the other three programs, and just to make sure that if they feel that we need to go further down this list, pick some more resurfacing projects to make sure that we don't have any large carryover balances, because even though we have all these projects in our program, we try to make sure they're sold in the dates they are. Invariably, there will be some that are delayed and get moved. So, yes, next time the subcommittee meets and recommends funding for those other three programs, they'll go back to this list to see if they feel we need to go a little bit further down to help ensure that we don't have large carryover balances. And then the last thing I'd like to mention, too, is we'll be sending out, after these are approved, we'll be sending out letters tomorrow to you and the engineers and whoever submitted these applications, and just reminding them that they have 45 days to turn in the programming package into ODOT. And that letter will spell everything out. It'll tell who to contact. And that's a key thing to do, because once ODOT gets that information, they can sign their PIDs, and then that'll go against our funding balance. That's all I had
with
this item. If anybody has any questions,
we have to answer. Questions for Victor?
The 8.3 million, what's that percentage? So well, we're over our 20% cap at 8.3 million.
Well, we said the policy states that we could use 20% over annual S&P. This bid agreed to go to 35%, which would have been 8 million roughly. This is a little bit over that, slightly over 35%.
Any other questions for Victor? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve resolution 2011-20.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, please. Do we have a question? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Boteson. Item D, resolution 2011-21, approving amendment number 5 to the TIP. Mr. Poulet.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6D is resolution 2011-21, which is an amendment, it's amendment 5 to our current transportation improvement program. This is a rather lengthy amendment. There's 22 projects in this amendment. 9 are new projects and 13 are revisions to existing projects. I'll briefly go over the 9 new projects. State Route 5 resurfacing in Portage County. Interstate 76 slide repair in Portage County. Akron Peninsula Road in Summit County. Evans Avenue grade separation in Akron, Gent Road property acquisition, North Howard Street property acquisition, Verbena Road bridge replacement, Interstate 76 Martha Avenue corridor study, and there's one statewide line item, a diesel emissions reduction program. I'm not going to go over all the revisions to existing projects. There's 4 in Portage County and 9 in Summit County. The staff recommends approval of resolution 2011-21, which approves Amendment 5 to the current TIP. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer.
Any questions for Dave? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to approve resolution number 2011-21.
So moved.
Motion. Do we have a second? Do we have a second? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The motion carries. Thank you, Dave. No other business?
Just the other thing I was going to add is I would be remiss also if I didn't congratulate and thank Bob for his service in the committee this year as well. We were planning on having a little more formal recognition of his service at the January meeting, but Bob, thank you for helping us out this year. You've been a great chairman.
Thank you. Sure.
I just
want to
say it's been good working with everybody and wish you well. That was my last.
I'd like to echo that sentiment as well. It's my last meeting. Really enjoyed one of the high points of my being mayor is coming to these meetings and working with all of you. So.
Yeah, and thank you, Mayor Kuntz, and we hope to continue to work with you and you know in your other capacity in the future
I'll be
as
in touch
well.
With you, so.
Yes.
Okay. Next meeting is Thursday, January 26th at 1:30. And having said that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion. We're out of here.